As you heard there, the gathering of young people of different religious faiths was organised by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue to both commemorate and carry forward the so-called Spirit of Assisi, generated by that first historic prayer meeting back in October 1986. Young men and women from nearly 30 countries met to discuss the specific contribution that they can make to promoting peace and overcoming the current climate of suspicion and often hostility towards those of different cultures and traditions. At the opening of the meeting, Under-Secretary of the Vatican's Council, Monsignor Felix Machado, introduced the groups of some 13 different religious faiths.
I would just take just a few minutes in the beginning here. If I could call on all the Jewish brothers and sisters present here, if they could stand. All right. All those who are Christians, not Catholics right now, but say the Orthodox tradition and the Protestant traditions, would you please stand? All those of the Catholic tradition, would you stand, please? All those of the Hindu tradition, would you stand, please? All those of the Muslim tradition, would you stand, please? Those here present of the Buddhist tradition, would you stand, please? Of the Jain tradition, would you stand, please? Of the Sikh tradition, would you stand, please? Of the Tenrikyo tradition? Of the Taoist tradition? Of the Zoroastrian tradition? Of the Baha'i tradition here? Have I forgotten anybody here? I hope not. Of the Brahma Kumari, yes, Brahma Kumari. Thank you.
So a very colourful crowd representative of the many different religious traditions to be found on the continents across the world. But why young people in particular? What can they offer to the older generation of religious leaders? Well, to start with, a conviction that good interfaith relations begin at a very early age. Listen to one African participant, Mustafa Ali from Kenya.
This is a very important meeting, I think, for the young people. And we realize most times that interreligious dialogue is something that is being undertaken by people, older people who are above 30 years of age, and very few below 30 years of age. And I think it's about time that the young people and even children are engaged in interreligious dialogue, for them to be able to know about the other person, to respect the differences that are there in different kind of religions, and celebrate the diversity.
That search for a new style of interreligious relations grounded in practical day-to-day collaboration that leads to a real transformation of hearts was spelt out by key speakers at the Assisi meeting.
For us as young people, matters of theology and eschatology are undoubtedly important, but they will not likely form the basis of the kinds of grassroots interreligious projects in which many of us participate.
Catherine Lohr is a member of the World Council of Churches Central Committee and works with the Pluralism Project at Harvard University in the United States.
The term encounter often connotes a brief moment of contact. The kind of encounter I am speaking of, however, is one that is carved out of authentic, truthful, and sustainable relationship building. The kind where we can ask the real questions, as many of us have in these past 2 days. Who are you? What do you believe? Why do you believe that? Why do you wear that? In what ways do we need each other, differences intact? When asked in a context of mutual respect, these questions can get to the core of both our self-perceptions and our world perspectives, and even open us to see ourselves and others in a new light. Interreligious relations are not intended for compromising our core commitments, nor are they intended to be a forum for conversion. On the contrary, it is imperative that our encounter with each other comes from a place of deep religious conviction, of profound faith. This is what can lead us to a shared mission of healing our broken world. As youth in this moment in history, we face a particular set of challenges. Our world is marked by fear of the other, fear of the unknown. Many communities are clamping down, closing doors, building walls. In fact, my own country is deeply indicted in this. Only those with a certain set of prerequisite experiences are allowed to sit at the so-called master's table. And these divisions, compounded by fear, have created a terribly violent and volatile world. And yet we all hear the many voices that are calling out to us, people who are not within our own communities. Will we find our hearts and minds open to the challenge? Will we allow our work and witness to be transformed by the faith of the other? In our globalizing world, with communication technologies like email and Skype, we have new opportunities for collaboration. This new model for interreligious relations involves a shift from dialogue to service based on common human values. It requires a collective attempt to understand each other's social realities and spiritual moorings in the midst of a common attempt to comprehend, critique, and serve the cultures in which we inhabit.
So at the end of this meeting, what did those young men and women achieve? What will they take back to their own countries? And how will this experience change and perhaps challenge them and their local communities and hopefully influence those in positions of power? Take a listen as representatives of the different faith groups read out parts of the concluding message from this Assisi conference.
We came together in Assisi, called from nearly 30 nations and representing 13 religious traditions, to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the historic Day of Prayer for World Peace in 1986. Invited by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and sent by our religious communities and organizations, we, young people, came here to carry forward the flame of peace, ignited by our spiritual leaders 20 years ago in these same sacred spaces.
We encountered one another with honesty and sincerity to build up the bonds of fraternity that unite us all as brothers and sisters in our humanity, fashioned by and in God. From our commonly held desires for happiness, justice, and truth, we entered into genuine dialogue.
Prayed according to our respective religious traditions, imploring for God the precious gift of peace. While our prayers were offered in different places, languages, and ways, we were united in a single purpose, praying for peace. In this way, we testify to the truth that prayer does not divide, but unites, and is a decisive element for an effective pedagogy of peace, hinged on friendship, reciprocal acceptance and dialogue between different cultures and religions. As Pope Benedict XVI wrote in his message from the 20th anniversary of the first Assisi meeting.
We walked as pilgrims to the site of St. Francis of Assisi's conversion 800 years ago, when God called out to Francis, "Go, rebuild my house." Likewise today, in the spirit of our respective religions, we, young people, hear the call to go, rebuild our world, which is too often broken by the violence and war.
We appeal to all people that peace is not something only to be sought in the halls of government, but also in the halls of our synagogues, our churches, our mosques, our temples, our pagodas, our gurdwaras, our attash behrams, our schools, our workplaces, our homes, and most importantly, in our hearts.
We will strive to follow the path to peace, guided by the precepts of our respective religious traditions. In the spirit of Assisi, and with a united voice, we echo the words of that great ambassador of peace, the servant of God, Pope John Paul II, as we cry out, "Violence, never again. War, never again. Terrorism, never again. In the name of God, may every religion bring upon the earth justice and peace, forgiveness and life, love."
Listening there to young people taking part in the Assisi meeting organized by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue to commemorate the first historic prayer meeting called by Pope John Paul II in October 1986.